Our scripture reading this morning comes from Romans 12, 9 through 21. It can be found on page 986 in your pew Bible. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thank you, Hazel. Thank you, choir. I really thought maybe perhaps once the choir finished, Hazel read that I might just stand up and say amen, now go do it, and then we'd leave. But then I thought better of it, or worse. You'll be the judge by the time it's over as to whether it was for better or for worse. But I do thank you all. I wonder who placed the wager today, because you'll win. You'll win. The song goes, "Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart." And for you all who are wondering, you'll just have to ask a choir member. This song used to be a very popular song, but we rarely hear it sung these days. We rarely use it in services, although the one that we sang earlier today is another one that is very apropos. By the way, that's Edgar's younger brother. And there are people who sing that song and they truly mean it. They want to be a Christian in their hearts. Period. Not in their lives, but in their hearts. Because you can keep it there, they think, and nobody else has to know. Just like I talked with the children earlier this morning. It was kind of tough for Noah to hide the fact that he was building this boat. He didn't have a shed big enough to put it in. And there were people that made fun of Noah and his sons. What do you want to do? Well, let's go down there and watch this guy, this crazy guy, build this boat out here in the middle of nowhere. We watched the grass grow yesterday. Give us something else to do. But today I want us to look again at how to become full followers and disciples of Christ. And I guess I thought about the title for today being Becoming Full Followers of Christ. But I figure either way, Becoming Full Followers of Christ or Full Followers of Christ, by the time we finish eating today, we'll be both. But I do want us to think for a little bit about what Paul had to say to the church at Rome, a church that he had not established and a church that he had not visited at the time that he wrote this particular epistle. To be a disciple of Christ, first of all, is to be an active learner, to become more Christ-like. And by the way, if you're wondering how that is becoming more Christ-like, to be an active learner, we're constantly finding Jesus learning more and more. We're constantly finding Jesus in the Gospels going to synagogue. And He doesn't just teach and preach, but Jesus debates with people and Jesus learns more. When Jesus is in the temple at age 12, when His parents lose Him for a few days, He's trying to learn as much as He can. And he was an active participant because he asked questions and he gave intelligent answers. So first of all, to be a disciple of Christ, and the word we translate disciple simply means a learner or one who sits at the feet and studies, is to be an active learner, to become more Christ-like. Many Christian churches and denominations have been focused almost totally for some decades now on evangelism, the conversion experience. And that is the important first step. You cannot truly be a disciple or a follower of Christ if evangelism does not occur, if conversion isn't out there. And I'm not belittling that at all. But we can only bear fruit if we move beyond conversion and seek to mature as Christ followers. One recent person whose work I was reading a few months ago stated, and I quote, "The church is now suffering the effects of focusing on evangelism, then neglecting the teaching of sound doctrine and biblical studies that is required in order for the next generation of church leaders to emerge effective as Christian witnesses. Many members find it difficult to articulate both what they believe and why they believe it." He goes on to write, "They are easily swayed from the truth of the gospel because they don't really know what is truth. Also, these folks find it unimportant to pass on the truth of scriptures to the next generation because they don't know how to share it with other people." In short, what he is saying is the lack of discipleship in our churches has had a profound effect on our ability as the church and as individual Christians in the church to minister effectively to members of every generation, but especially those that we find in our world today, especially those that we call postmodern. Also, many of our members in churches do not know true discipleship because they think that occasional attendance in services and study when nothing else is available is enough Christianity. It's enough to be inoculated against it, perhaps. We are called to mature and to grow fully as learners and servers in the church. But when we don't do that, we only deceive ourselves and others who observe our activities and think we're disciples. You know that study is one of the drums that I beat constantly. So I'll stop beating that one for a moment. In addition to study and regular participation in the worship life of the church, discipleship, which means flourishing or becoming Christ followers, there are other things that have to do that serve with this, that serve as evidence for followers and challenges to Christians. we who claim to be Christ followers. And Romans 12, I think, gives us just a glimpse into some of what Paul thought was necessary to become a full follower of Christ. First of all, he says, we must demonstrate genuine love. That is what Hazel read a while ago. We are to demonstrate love that is truly genuine. And I'm not talking about sappy sentimentality here, but a heartfelt love that causes us to be able to love with mutual affection even when we despise some of the bad things that those whom we are called to love might do. And that's hard. That's hard. But then again, we're not talking about sappy sentimentality. We are talking about something that is genuine because it is a part of our growing living. And we're not talking about a one-time thing. My translation, which is a little bit different from Hazel's, and that's fine, but my translation says that we are to outdo each other in honor. We're not to settle for honoring as much as the next person, but we as Christians are called to outdo each other in the ways we honor and show grace. Now, for someone, I know it's a surprise to you, but for someone who has a competitive nature like me, it's difficult not to keep score. I've never understood ball teams where you don't keep score, but that's another issue, and that's my issue. But this is not, when we're talking about outdoing one another, we're not talking about keeping score. But having a sense that we can never love and show honor to somebody else as much as God has shown us. That we can never do too much to honor others. And not so that we can keep score, but so that people will look at us and say, we know they're Christians by their love. They are a loving people. They are a caring people. Secondly, Paul says we need to be engaged in service with zeal. Verse 11. You know what a zealot is. It's amazing how zealous we are, or can be. Jesus had zealots in his band, and we still have zealots today. And I'm not just talking about Zionists. It's amazing that we are hesitant to really have a zeal for the church, but we are rabidly zealous about other things in life and in society. Yet as Christians, we are called to serve the church and others enthusiastically without expectation of return. And not just in the fun events, but in service to one another. Never lose your zeal, he says. In the Apocalypse, Book of Revelation, the first letter to one of the churches, which we've dealt with not too long ago, was to the church at Ephesus because they had lost the zeal that they had to begin with when they first became Christian and worked for Christ. And Paul says here, we are to be zealous in the way we work for God's causes and the church. Third, he says that we are to have a persistent hope. In verse 12, we haven't been promised a perfect life. And most of us in here can attest to the fact that we have not been promised ideal situations in life. But we have been promised the grace to sustain us if we will hold on to that hope. That hope of life with Christ, and not just in the future, not just talking about at the end of life and we talk about he or she has now attained that hope, That is a part of it. But we're talking about the hope that is available now to live through to the other side of the difficult circumstances. And prayer helps that. In fact, he says we are to be persistent in prayer and in hope. We're also told in verses 13 and following that we must reach out to others. We must reach out to others to introduce them to Christ and to share in their burdens, physical, emotional, spiritual. And Paul even goes so far to have the audacity to say that we are to do this even with our enemies. How dare he do such a thing? Surely he's not thinking about Christ praying for those that were killing him. We are to do this regardless of station in society, gender, age, or anything else. We are called to reach out to others and show strong outreach to both the saintly and the stranger. And we are to engage in actions that lead to being Christ-like, putting God first. We must have priorities where we make time to read and study and pray with serious intent so that we know God more fully and serve in greater ways at work, at school, at home, in our neighborhood, even at church. We are to give of ourselves and what we have and to give those things over to God, even making sacrifices for God's work in and through us. We shouldn't make excuses. I don't have the time. I don't have the talents, etc. But we are to reach out and share with those who are hungry and in need. World hunger? Yes, food. And we do share. And what you give when we go next door, or if you give nothing but your prayers, will go to help others. But not just world hunger in food, but world hunger for the gospel. World hunger for the gospel. Perhaps even in our own families. But certainly, throughout our world, we see that need. We see that hunger. And it is up to us, both in word and in how we live, to help satisfy that hunger for the gospel. Which leads us to ask ourselves a series of questions. Am I growing as a disciple? Am I showing genuine love? Do I have a zeal for my God, my church, my Christian life? Do I hope and persistently pray in the good times, the bad times, and the daily, ordinary times? Do I show Christian hospitality? Will they know I'm a Christian by my love? Am I really ready to become a full follower of Christ? The answers to those questions will make all the difference not only in each of our lives, but in the lives of a world hungry and in need. Our hymn of commitment, our closing hymn, is number 724. Lead on, O King Eternal. It's a prayer, but it's also a commitment to be a full follower of Christ. As we sing, our altar is open for any who would make a decision of any kind, whether that is to make a public profession of Christ for the first time, to join with this fellowship and minister here and from here, or to recommit ourselves to God. Number 724, lead on, O King Eternal.